by the way, I think that's the biggest block to dealing with this problem, you know, is we got to get out of the campaign rhetoric where we all imagine that somehow we can generate $2, you know, or sorry, somehow we can pay for $2 worth of goods and services for every dollar of revenue, and we've got some magic elixir for how that's going to happen. And believe me, both Democrats and Republicans are guilty of making those heroic assumptions. We got to get rid of those heroic assumptions and be honest about the choices we face.
Okay, now you've got a president who's on record over and over and over again saying he will not raise taxes on those earning less than $250,000 a year.
That's a challenge.
Well,
we've also got a Republican Congress that's on record as saying they won't raise one penny of taxes on anything, anytime,
but,
anywhere. And
right,
that's a
right.
Challenge too.
But my point here, and I understand where the Republican Congress is coming from, because their point is that when you raise taxes, you instantly evaporate incentive for cutting spending because there's more money on the table. So, we don't have to make those cuts.
You have to do both. But that was never what the Republicans were saying. They were never saying, okay, here's our plan. It's got some revenue, but it's got those spending cuts that we need, so therefore we'll be okay. I mean, they were rather consistent in saying no revenue.
Well, that's because
spending cuts on the table or
that's,
not.
That's because in previous deals, one by Reagan, one by Bush, to do exactly what you're talking about, Congressman Smith, where you will raise taxes in exchange for spending cuts, the tax increases went in, the spending cuts did not.
Yeah, well, I wasn't around back then, but certainly you're going to have to control spending too. There's no question that those two things have to go hand in hand.
Well, how many? Let me ask you again. Taking the temperature of Washington D.C., how many of your fellow Democrats would tell the president, "I'm sorry, but you're going to have to go a lot lower than $250,000 if you want to raise sufficient revenue?"
Yeah, I don't know. Not many is my read, based on having talked to a number of folks. We're rather fond of that. In fact, at one point during this whole debate, a number of Democrats in Congress upped the ante and said only for people making over $1 million. It's a problem. Look, the problem, and it's on both the spending and the tax side. I mean, we want to imagine that we can cut taxes and increase spending and somehow balance the budget. And I understand why. These are important programs, and I don't want to raise taxes. I mean, raising taxes means, you know, people are going to pay more money. I don't want to cut, you know, valuable programs. But we are running, you know, for four straight years now, $1 trillion deficit, $16 trillion debt. And we've got to figure out how to get that back in balance. Now, I think there's some smart choices that we can make in doing this. But I think a lot of the promises we've heard in the last few years, you know, have built into the, you know, voters' minds an idea of, well, how we can create something for nothing. And sorry, we can't.
Okay.
We're going to have to make choices.
Last question for Congressman Adam Smith, if you're just joining me. When tax rates were higher on the wealthy, they actually paid a smaller proportion of the nation's income tax bill. For instance, when in 1980, when the top rate was 70%, the top 1% paid 17% of the nation's tax bill, income tax bill. Now that rate's been cut in half. It's 35%, and the wealthiest 1% don't pay 17% of the nation's income taxes. They pay about 38-39% of the nation's income tax bill. So the question I have for you is, what good would it do to raise tax rates on the wealthy if they end up paying a smaller proportion of the nation's income taxes?
Sorry, but the stat you just cited is pretty much completely irrelevant, because the other thing that's
why would it be irrelevant?
I will tell you.
Okay.
Between those two periods of time that you talked about, the wealthy in this country now make an enormous amount more money than they used to.
Right.
The reason that they pay such a higher percentage is because of the income gap that now exists between people at the top, people at the middle, and people at the bottom, not because of the change in rates. It's because it's just staggering over the course of that same time period, from 1980 to now, how much more money the top 1% makes than they made back then. That also causes your taxes to go up. In fact, I'll tell you, that's the primary thing that causes your taxes to go up.
But it wasn't as much. I mean, I believe the nation's richest 1% earned like 14% of the nation's income back in 1980, and last year they earned about 22%.
Yeah, it's an incredibly complicated math problem so early in the morning, but it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
So, look, I mean, bottom line is we got to have some honest conversations about the choices we face and make them soon, because that fiscal cliff is coming.
Adam Smith swept to easy victory in the 9th Congressional District. It's great having you here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Very candid conversation, too. Adam Smith, thanks for being here.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the chance.